All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman. Today, I'll be joined by Marcus Mosher, one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Cowboys podcast, to preview this upcoming Week 10 matchup between the Atlanta Falcons and Dallas Cowboys on today's Crossover Thursday.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, still going strong on Twitter at FalcFans and writing weekly content over at The Falcoholic, the SB Nation website for the Atlanta Falcons. And of course, the host of this preeminent Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode of Locked On Falcons is brought to you by McDonald's. Proudly serving communities since 1965, McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's also the unofficial community center, and we give a big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. McDonald's, I'm loving it. So today's episode of Locked On Falcons will feature my conversation with Marcus Mosher, one of the two co-hosts of the Locked On Cowboys podcast alongside Landon McCool. And Marcus and I will be sort of previewing this upcoming Week 10 matchup between the Falcons and Cowboys. And we'll pick Marcus's brain on the CeeDee Lamb versus AJ Terrell battle potential matchup and whether or not we'll see those two guys squaring off this week. For those of you guys that don't know Marcus, he's been very vocal on Twitter over the last couple of years saying that the Falcons were foolish for passing on CeeDee Lamb and taking AJ Terrell. But we'll get Marcus's thoughts on that, as well as some of the other matchups and battles that we expect to see on Sunday. And then at the end of the episode, I'll bring you guys some updates on the roster situation, maybe talk a little bit about the injury report. The Falcons signed a Pitt legend in the secondary to their practice squad. So, you know, we definitely got to talk about that on today's episode. But without further ado, we'll jump into that conversation with Marcus Mosher. But before we do, guys, I do want to thank you guys for making Locked On Falcons your first listen each and every day. And, of course, Locked On Falcons is free and available on a variety of podcast platforms, including audio platforms like Apple, Odyssey, Google, and Spotify. And, of course, on video platforms like YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the new Locked On Falcons YouTube channel. If you haven't already, make sure you leave a comment, make sure you hit that like. So that's what you guys should do. And without further ado, let's jump into that conversation with Marcus Mosher of the Locked On Cowboys podcast.
Welcome back. It's another crossover podcast here. I am Marcus Mosher of the Locked On Cowboys podcast here with Aaron Freeman from Locked On Falcons. Aaron, it is nice to see you again. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good, Marcus. Looking forward to talking a little Falcons-Cowboys today.
Yeah, so the last time the Cowboys and Falcons played, they played in one of the, I'm just going to say, one of the dumbest games that I can remember in recent memory. I'm sure that you would agree. The Cowboys won 40-39 in the game. They absolutely should not have won. But why do the Cowboys and Falcons play in such odd games?
I don't know. I just don't know. I guess it's because they're two teams that don't see each other all that much. So I guess they save up all the weirdness for each other when they do get the chance to go head to head.
Yeah, I've got a lot of questions about this Falcons team. We're just going to just kind of dive right into it. So, and I want to start with Calvin. He stepped away because of some mental health issues. I think it's fantastic that he was able to do so. We saw last year, I think actually the best thing that came out of that Cowboy-Falcon game was the conversation that Dak Prescott and Hayden Hurst had after the game, talking about mental health and all the great things that they were able to do together kind of over the offseason and opening up conversations. So my question just for you, Aaron, is there any update on Calvin? Do we have any idea what's going on there?
The biggest update is that the Falcons did put him on a non-football injury list last week, which means he's going to, it's treated similarly to the injured reserve. So if and when he does return, it'll be after 3 weeks. And last week was the first of potentially three games that he'll return. So we know he'll be out for at least another 2 weeks, but beyond that, we don't really have any other updates.
Our thoughts go out to Calvin. We're just hoping that everything, you know, works out here and that he can get back onto the football field. So we love watching Calvin Ridley play. So Let's talk more about the Falcons. I'd like to talk about Matt Ryan because I don't know how this happened, but he's had one of the quietest, best seasons in the league right now. Like since week three, his passer rating is like 106. I think he's playing really well. So what's the reason for this kind of resurgence from Matt Ryan?
Yeah, a lot of it, or at least when it first started around week four, week five, a lot of that was Kyle Pitts. Right. Those were some really monster games that Kyle Pitts had in the London game against the Jets, in that week seven game against the Miami Dolphins. And the last week, particularly against New Orleans, Kyle Pitts had a relatively quiet performance due to Marshon Lattimore doing a pretty good job keeping him in check for most of that game. And then you saw the Falcons wide receivers step up really for the first time this season because it has not been great for that group. Calvin Ridley, you know, prior to him stepping away, was not having the level of production that we were expecting for him. Russell Gage, their number two wide receiver, basically missed a bunch of weeks with an ankle injury. And then when he came back, there were multiple games he's had where he had zero catches in those games, and his replacements haven't been exactly great. But the Falcons got a big boost last week. You saw Gage, you saw Olamide Zaccheaus had two touchdown catches against the Saints. And Cordarrelle Patterson has provided a lot of boost, not only as a running back, but also as a receiver, and had that big catch at the end of that New Orleans Saints game that helped set up the game-winning field goal for the Falcons. So a lot of it with Matt Ryan is he's getting much more comfortable in the system. The playmakers, when they step up and give him reliable options, we know, given Matt Ryan's history, that when you give him weapons to throw to, whether it's Roddy White or Tony Gonzalez or Julio Jones, he can get the ball to those guys. And that was really the thing, I think, holding back the Falcons in those first couple of games. But now the last couple of weeks, they're getting a lot more contributions from those playmakers.
All right. So you mentioned Cordarrelle Patterson. I think he's one of the coolest stories in the NFL this year, you know, playing running back, playing receiver, and just being super productive. How have the Falcons figured out how to use him correctly when really no other team has ever figured it out before?
Yeah, it's funny because like the Falcons aren't doing anything like especially creative when it comes to Cordarrelle Patterson. It's basically like particularly early in the season, it was just like check the ball down to Cordarrelle Patterson and let him make a play.
Give him the ball.
Yeah, you know, and just get the ball in his hands and let him do his thing. And that's been a lot of it. And, you know, these last couple of weeks, they've gotten a couple of big plays on some vertical throws down the field. You saw that big one against the Saints last week. So they're being creative in terms of utilizing him not only as just a running back and a pass catcher out of the backfield, but, you know, splitting him out wide, utilizing him in the slot and as an outside stretch wide receiver. But it's not like rocket science. It's not like the Falcons are doing, you know, crazy creative things with him. It's right. Just like run a screen here, throw a check down here, you know, let him go deep on this play. That's basically sort of their secret to their success.
But it sounds so simple because it is, right? It's just like he's one of the best athletes in football. Get the ball in his hands and let him go make plays. I don't know why teams struggled so much with this before, but hey, kudos to Cordarrelle Patterson because I think he's kind of finally figured it out. He's playing two positions kind of, you know, really, really well. So it's just awesome to see. Now, I've got to ask you about Kyle Pitts. This is somebody that Cowboy fans were lusting over throughout the entire draft process. We talked about it on our show all the time. Like, should you go up and trade for Kyle Pitts? This is a generational tight end. You've watched him every single snap. How has he been so far as a rookie?
He's been really good. He's been as good as advertised. He hasn't necessarily had the dominant performances week in and week out, but when we've seen him play up to his ability, as I mentioned in that Jets and Dolphins game, he was dominant in those games, being able to make plays all over the field. You see the one-handed highlight reel catches. You see all the athleticism and talent that everybody was well aware of when he was coming out of Florida that made him the first non-quarterback drafted in this past year's draft class. The last 2 weeks, he hasn't been as productive, probably much to the chagrin of fantasy owners. And a lot of that, I think, is due to the matchups that he has been facing these last couple of games, going up against Stephon Gilmore in Carolina. And he did a really good job keeping him in check in that game. And then this past week against Marshon Lattimore, no offense to the Cowboys. I don't know if Trevon Diggs is on that level. I don't know if Keanu Neal is the type of guy.
He's not. No, he's not. You know that.
Yeah. point, you know, there was a time when Keanu Neal, prior to his knee injuries, could have been considered a top-notch tight end eraser here in Atlanta, but I don't think he's that guy anymore. So I think this is going to be an opportunity for Kyle Pitts to sort of get back to, you know, putting up big numbers this week against Dallas. I think they're a matchup that's ripe for that.
Just an awesome player, though. Like, he is going – he's going to be a superstar, right?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. We're counting on
him. He's unbelievable. All right, Aaron. So Falcons Twitter has been upset with me for a couple of years now, and yeah. I understand. It's fine. So I did not have super nice things to say about A.J. Terrell. I thought the Falcons overdrafted him. I thought they should have drafted CeeDee Lamb. But I might be wrong. A.J. Terrell's had a really nice year for the Falcons, correct?
Yes, he has. And, you know, we're going to take that soundbite, Marcus, and plaster it all over the social media for the next couple of days.
That's fair. Hey, it's fair.
I might be wrong. Yeah, A.J. Terrell's been outstanding this year. He's been, you know, one of the better corners in the league when he's been asked to play man coverage. I think he's only given up one reception all year long in man coverage. Now, the Falcons don't play a ton of man coverage. That's not really their MO, but last week they did play a lot of man coverage. I think some of that was owed to them not having as much fear over the Saints wide receivers as they probably would have going up this week against Dallas. So I don't expect them to play as much man coverage this week, but you know, he's also been outstanding in zone coverage. You know, the Falcons cover two has been a disaster this season, but it seems like when teams take shots onto A.J. Terrell's side of the field in that cover two hole behind the corner and underneath the deep safety, he has made a number of plays in that regard. And that, I think, is a testament to his ability. So he's been outstanding this season and certainly making it so various hosts of Locked On Cowboys podcast might have to go back and delete some tweets.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to delete it because I got to just admit what I said. I thought it was a bad pick at the time, and I think with him playing, obviously, a Pro Bowl level at worst, it's certainly looking like the Falcons made the right choice there. So I actually want to talk about the other cornerback because, I mean, Dallas is one of these teams that has a lot of weapons. So even if you have one good corner, they can kind of throw away from that. So what's the rest of the secondary look like for the Falcons this year?
Yeah, you imagine, given where A.J. Terrell typically is parked on that left side of the Falcons defense, he'll probably line up quite a bit more against Amari Cooper. So we won't get as much as the CeeDee Lamb versus A.J. Terrell matchup that I'm sure you in your timeline is eager to see to definitely, you know, go one way or the other on that debate. So the other corner has been Fabian Moreau, who Cowboys fans are probably familiar with from his days in Washington. And he's been okay. You know, he's been good at times. He's gotten a lot of flags. So I imagine it's going to be Moreau versus CeeDee Lamb a lot more in this matchup, although I guess we'll find out if Michael Gallup's going to be back this week, and that will, I guess.
He's planning on returning. I would be shocked if he doesn't play, which that means we'll probably see more CeeDee Lamb in the slot, which can be difficult to deal with because of his, you know, kind of size and speed.
Yeah, and that is a very dangerous matchup for this Falcons team because they don't really have a slot corner right now. Their starter in Isaiah Oliver is out for the season with a knee injury, and we saw Oliver kind of struggle in his few matchups against Lamb and Gallup last year when they played the Cowboys, but that was more as an outside corner. But his replacements have been basically a combination of rookie safety Richie Grant, rookie corner Avery Williams, and as of lately, it's been starting safety Eric Harris getting a lot of those slot snaps. And it doesn't matter who the Falcons put up. I think CeeDee Lamb is going to take full advantage of that. So it will be good for your brand, Marcus, that if CeeDee Lamb has a big week this week, just given I don't think the Falcons really have anybody on their roster that really matches up well against him in the slot. So I think it is really the other two cornerback spots that you're worried about if you're the Falcons, like A.J. Terrell going up against Amari Cooper. You know, Cooper's probably going to get his, as he often does, but you feel really relatively good about that matchup that he can keep him contained. But it's the Gallup versus Moreau. It's the Lamb versus whoever the Falcons put in the slot that's going to really, I think, cause the Falcons problems this week.
And it's too bad that Richie Grant has to play in the slot because it's not – I mean, he did it a little bit in college, but that's not really his role, right? He's better off as a deep safety. But, I mean, as you mentioned, Atlanta kind of just doesn't have any options with Oliver going down. So, all right, we're going to turn this around. Aaron's going to ask me some questions about the Cowboys as we continue to preview this matchup.
So we got more to come here on today's Locked On Falcons podcast, Crossover Thursday with Locked On Cowboys. But I want to tell you guys about our proud sponsor, McDonald's, who's been proudly serving communities since 1965 with tasty, affordable food. I know when I'm headed to McDonald's, I'm on a mission to get those fries and get those McNuggets. But maybe when you're headed to McDonald's, you're on a mission to get that free Wi-Fi, that dependable Wi-Fi that students know that they can trust with their study groups, as well as an endless supply of fries and McFlurries. It's a place that you guys can be on a mission after the game, whether you're the home team, the away team, or just someone who was watching the game. You can go to McDonald's to recharge and refuel. And of course, you know, McDonald's is a great place to stop on those long road trips just to rest your legs. McDonald's has always been there for me. It should be always there for you. It is the unofficial community center. So head to your local McDonald's to refuel and reconnect. And when you have that dependable Wi-Fi, you know, it's also a great place where you could watch Locked On Falcons. McDonald's, I'm loving it. So I know sometimes when you're stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic and you're burning through a ton of gas, you're sitting there wondering, how can I save more money at the pump because I'm burning through my wallet, filling up this car or truck each and every day, only to get stuck in traffic each and every day for hours upon hours, particularly for those of you guys in the city of Atlanta. But there's a great new app that can help you save every time you go to the pump, and that is Get Upside. Get Upside is a free app available in both the App Store and on Google Play. And every time you fill up, you get 25 cents back per gallon. And those types of savings can really start to add up, with some people making as much as $200 to $300 a month with Get Upside. And Get Upside now has a special offer with a promo code Touchdown, and you can get an additional 25 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. So that's up to 50 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. All you have to do is download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or on Google Play. Use that promo code Touchdown when you sign up. That's Get Upside, promo code Touchdown to start saving every time you fill up. So we're continuing here on the Crossover Thursday. Here, myself, Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons, Marcus Mosher, one half of the Locked On Cowboys crew. And, you know, talking about this Cowboys team, I got to ask you, Marcus, what happened last week against Denver? I watched the game and still came away confused. Like, all of a sudden it was 6-0, then it was 19-0. Like, what? How did Dallas lose this game?
Yeah, I mean, Dallas just didn't play well. Like, it's pretty that simple. They dropped a ton of passes. Dak played one of the worst games of his career. He was missing guys that were wide open. Now, you got to give credit to Denver. Like, they forced the Cowboys to do different things on offense. They forced them to stop the run, and they didn't do it. But the Cowboys are just a much better team than what we saw on Sunday. And, Aaron, you know this. You watch the NFL all the time. Teams have stinker games, right? Like, we saw the Saints blow out the Packers earlier this year. We saw the Buccaneers kind of lay an egg against the Saints last week or 2 weeks ago. So these kind of games happen, but it's more about, can you come back? Can you be resilient? Can you not put two bad games on tape? I think the Cowboys just had a bad day and they're going to be fine long term.
Now, one thing that I imagine contributed to their bad day this past Sunday was some of the concerns along the offensive line. Terrence Steele, who had been replacing Lyle Collins at right tackle for several weeks, had to make the switch to left tackle last week with Tyron Smith out of the lineup. I'm curious about Smith's status for this week, because I think that could wind up, you know, aiding the Falcons if they can need as much help as they can possibly get.
I don't know how Tyron Smith always misses these Falcon games, but it's becoming a disturbing trend, right? We remember in 2017 when Chaz Green played left tackle for the Cowboys because Tyron was hurt. The Adrian Claiborne game, that's all we had to say, and everybody knows exactly what we were talking about, right? Tyron was banged up last year in week two, so I don't expect him to play. He's dealing with bone spurs in his ankle right now. The Cowboys got this weird scheduling thing coming up where they play the Chiefs in Kansas City on Sunday. They play a Thursday Thanksgiving game against the Raiders and then another Thursday game against the Saints, which ends up being like 3 games in 12 days. I think the Cowboys are going to try to be patient with him here and not rush him back on the field. And you mentioned Terrence Steele played really well at right tackle, moved over to the left tackle and struggled, gave up 9 pressures. The Cowboys were forced to put a running back in the backfield to kind of help him out. And it still didn't always help. So it's going to be a problem. I mean, maybe you can tell me about this, Aaron. What does the pass rush look like for the Falcons this week? Because I don't think Dante Fowler is coming back, correct?
Yeah, well, he was designated to return, and we kind of need him to come back because he's the only edge rusher on this Falcon team that has a chance of taking advantage of that Terrence Steele matchup. So his status is a little bit up in the air. Typically, when the Falcons have had guys come back, they practice for a week and then come back and play the following week. But I think, you know, it makes sense for the Falcons to kind of fast track Dante Fowler and see if they can get him ready to play on Sunday, because they certainly are going to need them if they're going to try to take advantage of that Terrence Steele matchup.
So if it's not Fowler, who are the other guys on the edge that could make some plays here? Because last week against the Broncos, it's not like they had all world guys on the other side and they were still productive, right? They had a 7th round rookie who had like 7 pressures in this game. So who do Cowboy fans need to keep an eye on in this one?
Ade Ogundeji is the Falcons' 5th round rookie that he has been relatively quiet these last couple of weeks, having replaced Dante Fowler. But maybe this is the game he needs to sort of spark and show that, you know, some of the flashes that he showed earlier this season as a reserve off the bench. Steven Means has been their primary pass rusher as well. He's been the only one that's really been productive, but Steven Means is kind of just a guy at this point in time in his career. And the other one is James Vaughters, who did have a big sack strip last week against New Orleans. That was recovered by Steven Means. That set up a Falcons touchdown. It was probably, you know, in hindsight, given the Falcons 4th quarter collapse, was probably instrumental to the Falcons finding a way to win that game. And so James Vaughters is another option that if he can have a repeat of that success. But for the most part, the Falcons pass rush is the Grady Jarrett show. And it's probably going to be him versus Connor Williams, I imagine, as the pivotal matchup in the trenches for the Falcons.
And that's where the Cowboys are strong, right? Tyler Biadasz at center is probably their weakest player, but they've got Connor Williams, they've got Zach Martin. That'll be a fun matchup, but you would think it would favor Dallas, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Now, speaking of that battle in the trenches, how is Dallas's run game going? Is it something that they're going to lean on, or is this going to be a game, given what we saw Dak do last year in the second half of that game, they're just going to basically decide we're going to pick apart this Falcons pass attack or secondary?
It's very hit or miss. It just kind of depends on the week. The Cowboys would love to stay balanced and keep Atlanta on their heels, but they haven't always been able to do that. They really struggled to run the ball last week against Denver. Against New England, they did not run the ball well. I mean, even against Minnesota, they had their problems. So it's a little bit dependent on the matchup. It's dependent on the front. But I would think Dallas would like to keep running the ball, have 30 touches combined between Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. But they're not married to that either. Like, if they see a clear weakness in Atlanta's secondary, or they think that CeeDee Lamb and Dalton Schultz are just going to have big games across the middle, they'll abandon the run to do that. So, again, I think you'll see early on in this game, the Cowboys use the rushing attack to just kind of get things going and then maybe go away from it if they, you know, continue to struggle.
Now, we can't talk about a Falcons-Cowboys matchup without talking about the Cowboys defensive coordinator, former Falcons head coach. I know Dallas's defense has performed very well for the most part of the season. Did not look the case this past week against Denver. Are there concerns that, you know, some of the cracks are showing in this defense? What are some of the strengths of this Dan Quinn-led Cowboys defense?
Dan Quinn has always just – he's a defensive coordinator, right? Like, he was a fine head coach for Atlanta for all those years, but he's just – he's one of these guys that's just destined to be a high-end defensive coordinator for a long time. Like, we've seen it, like, with Wade Phillips, right? Like, Wade Phillips is the perfect example of that. I think the best part about Dan Quinn's defense is they're aggressive and they play fast. And sometimes that'll lead to big plays. And we've seen Trevon Diggs give up some big ones in the secondary, but they're okay with that if they can create turnovers. Over the last 2 weeks, they haven't done that. So if you're not creating turnovers and you're giving up big plays and you're allowing teams to run the ball on you, that's where it can get a little hairy. But I think the Cowboy fans and the Cowboys love to see an aggressive defense. And they know with their offense, usually, if the Cowboys can score 30 points in offense and the defense can get a couple takeaways, that'll be enough. So I still feel very optimistic about Dan Quinn long term. I think his defense is pretty good. It's just not perfect because no defense is in the NFL. You can always get beat. But I think they can make enough plays in a lot of these games to win.
Now, my last question for you, Marcus, is, you know, I'm looking at this Bet Online spread, and Cowboys are favored by 9 points.
That's too many, right? It's way too many. These two teams, I think we both think Dallas is probably better. Mm-hmm. But 9 points is too many. I think this is a line that should probably be 6.5, 7 at most.
Yeah, it feels like a backdoor cover for the Falcons. I expect Dallas. So?
I wouldn't even be surprised if this is a field goal game or, you know, a one possession game late and it comes down to the final drive or, you know, the Cowboys needing to get a couple first downs just to finish out the game. 9 points is just too many, I think.
Yeah, you know, I feel like this is the week that Dallas's offense gets back on track after, you know, two down weeks where you had the Cooper Rush game, which you understandable would not expect Dallas's offense to be clicking. The last week against Denver, as you say, the rough outing there and just having a bad week. I think this is probably a week going up against a pretty soft Falcons defense that you would expect Dallas at home, given some of the mismatches that they have, particularly on the outside, given the fact that the Falcons up until last week could not stop the run to save their life this season. You know, this is the type of sort of rebound, bounce back, get right game that Dallas needs. To me, the question with the Falcons is going to be, can the Falcons offense keep pace with this Dallas offense if they need to? And I feel like the Falcons should be able to put up some points against this Dallas team. And that is part of the reason why I think you should feel relatively confident picking the Falcons to cover in this one. Although every time I've said that so far this season, it has not gone particularly that way. So we'll sort of see if the Falcons can live up to those expectations.
Yeah. Well, on the Locked On Cowboys podcast, I picked against the Cowboys every single week, except for last week. I finally did. I finally picked the Cowboys to win and they got embarrassed. So I'm never doing that again. So I'm picking the Falcons to win there, Aaron. So there you go.
All right. We'll see what happens. Yeah. We'll see what happens. I think this is going to be a fun matchup.
I think it's going to be a good game, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see a blowout for Dallas. And I know a lot of people are predicting that they're going to come in and score 38 points and it's going to be one of those games. But I don't see that. Matt Ryan's too good of a quarterback to allow that to happen. The Cowboys have some issues on defense they've got to solve. I think at the very worst, we're going to get a pretty close game going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I expect Dallas to put 30 points on the board, but I think the Falcons can keep pace with that for the most part.
I agree. Well, we want to thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the crossover podcast between the Locked On Cowboys and Locked On Falcons. Please, please, please check out Aaron's work. He does a fantastic job over at Locked On Falcons. I know that Falcon listeners aren't happy with me right now, and I get it, but please go check him out. You guys can check us out at Locked On Cowboys. You can check out my co-host, Landon McCool at McCoolBCB. I'm at Marcus_Mosier. Aaron, enjoy the game. I hope to talk to you soon. We'll see you guys next time.
Appreciate it, Marcus. So we are continuing today's Locked On Falcons podcast, and we'll be jumping into some roster news with the Falcons, giving you guys a little bit of an injury report as we continue today's episode. But before we do, I want to tell you guys about Bet Online. You know, Bet Online is the number one spot, whether you're betting on pro or college football, whether you're betting on basketball, whether you're betting on baseball, basketball, boxing, you know, all the way to your favorite Vegas casino games. BetOnline is the number one spot for all things betting and sports. And you can just head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus. That means if you deposit $500, you'll get $250 in free money to play with once you sign up. And of course, as we discussed on today's Crossover Thursday, the line for this weekend's game between the Falcons and Cowboys has the Cowboys favored by 9 points. And as we suggested, this seems to be screaming, hey, you know, bet the Falcons to cover here, even if you don't necessarily think the Falcons are going to win. But no matter how you bet, whether you want to throw the Falcons into a parlay or whatever the case may be, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. So don't wait. Take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So, guys, that's going to do it for us here on today's Locked On Falcons. I want to thank Marcus for joining me on today's Crossover Thursday. And before we wrap up today's episode, I do want to catch you guys up on a little bit of roster news. The Falcons did make a practice squad addition on Wednesday, signing former Pitt cornerback Lafayette Pitts to the practice squad, presumably to replace Chris Williamson, who they elevated from the practice squad to their roster yesterday as part of those moves, in addition to cutting Jacob Toady-Mariner. And probably the Falcons deemed that Williamson's presence on the roster will be needed this week because Kendall Sheffield missed Wednesday's practice with a hamstring injury. So that leaves the Falcons a little thin at that cornerback spot. And so we'll see how that all plays out this weekend. So Pitts, you know, adds another body to replace Williamson at the practice squad spot. Another roster move that happened yesterday that we did not touch upon, in addition to the Falcons releasing Jacob Toady-Mariner and Cam Nizelec, the punter, was that the Falcons also released Deidrin Sinnott, their former third-round defensive tackle in the 2018 draft out of South Florida, from the injured reserve. Sinnott had been placed on the injured reserve during the summer by the team. And now is released from that practice squad. They also released tight end Ryan Becker from the injured reserve as well. But Sinnott's a player that we didn't talk about yesterday because if you've been listening to the Locked On Falcons podcast basically for the last 6 months, we've been basically predicting that, you know, Deidrin Sinnott has probably played his last snaps in Atlanta. And unfortunately for Deidrin Sinnott, there weren't that many snaps for him to play in Atlanta, particularly the last two seasons. And for those of you that are relatively new to the podcast that haven't heard me talk about this over the last 2 years of why Deidrin Sinnott went from a player that the Falcons felt good enough to draft in the third round in 2018, and looked like he was on track to be a potential starter for the team going into the 2019 season, to a player that could barely be active on most game days. You know, the reasons behind that was, I just think the Falcons at the time when they drafted Deidrin Sinnott had a particular type of D tackle that in their mind that Deidrin Sinnott seemingly fit. And then in 2019, things changed, things evolved, and they wanted a little bit more beef. They wanted a little bit more length. And that's why they brought in Tyler Davidson and essentially turned, you know, the keys over to Tyler Davidson to provide that size in the middle of their D line. And we've seen the team continue to move in that direction in the last, you know, several months, particularly with this new coaching staff, and has added a number of 320, 330 and plus pound nose tackles since, you know, May and June. And hopefully that all culminates now with the addition of the ascension of Anthony Rush this past week as potentially the 350-pound nose tackle. And no, I will not make a Jordan Davis reference, although technically I just did. But, you know, maybe some of you guys are hoping that that path will continue and ultimately lead to Jordan Davis. And no, I'm not doing this just to troll Bulldog fans. I just, you know. Anyway, I'll let it go. But there you guys get caught up in the news. So Deidrin Sinnott, hopefully he'll get healthy. Hopefully he'll get another opportunity to, you know, catch on elsewhere in the league in opportunities that he did not necessarily get these last couple of years in Atlanta, because he was always a player that when he did play, did, you know, produce and show and flash potential to be a contributor in this league. And unfortunately, you know, just right, wrong time, and whatnot here in Atlanta to get that opportunity to develop. So we'll see what happens for him. We'll be rooting for him. But there you guys have it. Tomorrow's episode of Locked On Falcons will feature me talking about something, you know, probably more likely to be, you know, reacting to whatever Dean Pease says in his Thursday press conference on tomorrow's episode. We'll catch you up on whatever other news that we need to talk about. Something catches my fancy to wrap up the week before you guys get geared up for this week 10 Cowboys action. And, you know, I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Falcons your first listen each and every day. And I always have recommendations for what should be your second listen each and every day. Of course, Locked On Hawks, Locked On Braves, Locked On Bulldogs for you Georgia and locals here in the Atlanta area. Of course, Locked On Bulldogs and Locked On Braves are both free and available on YouTube, as well as with Locked On Hawks free and available on a variety of podcast platforms like Apple, Odyssey, Google, and Spotify. And in addition to those local shows, make sure you check out the Locked On Bets podcast. We're talking about whether or not the Falcons will cover against this Dallas team and whether, you know, handicapping expert Lee Sterling agrees with that pick, make sure you check out the Locked On Bets podcast, free and available on all the same podcast platforms that these other shows are on here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And so check that out, Locked On Bets. So there you guys have it. We'll be back tomorrow with some additional insights into this Falcon team. Appreciate it. Till then.